תזכו לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות. Tonight, we continue our study of the Tefillah and the Amidah in particular. Tonight is a special night. It's the Hilulav Rishbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Zikuto yagen aleinu v'al kol amo Yisrael. Amen. We also mention tonight some of the other great tzaddikim. Rabbi Amram ben Diwan, just mentioning his name brings Beracha. Zikuto yagen aleinu, buried in Morocco in the city of Wazan. And I told you my personal story with Rabbi Amram, but that's, we won't be repetitious. And also, we are learning tonight Lichbod Nishmat Rabbi David Umoshe, that we talked about last week as well. All the tzaddikim, from Rashbi all the way down, that be Melitze Yosher for us. You know, it's a big mitzvah to learn Torah, even on the night of the Hilulav Rashbi. Even though some people opted to throw wood in fires, we'll do that after. There's a time for making fires and there's a time for learning. The fire of the Torah is much more powerful than the fire that's made in a bonfire. So first we'll go from the Esh Torah, and then we'll go to the Esh Gashmi following. I'm sure that's the way the Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai would want it. I want to explain to you tonight in the Amidah just a few words. Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibor v'anora. That's the subject. But as I told you, and I will repeat to you every shi'ur, we didn't come over here just to hear interpretation and meaning of words. If you want interpretations, we have English sidurim over here in the hallway. Get an English sidur and you read. Ha'el, the God, Agadol, the big, Agibor, the strong, Anora, the awesome. And that's it, class is over. The purpose of these shi'urim is to also create the philosophy of the tefillah, where we could get excited, to be motivated, to be invigorated. Part of our problem in tefillah is that it becomes stale, becomes old, becomes mechanical and ordinary and routine. And the purpose of these shiurim, besides to get the interpretation, but it's to awaken to us the importance of tefillah, the importance of every word of the tefillah. Last week we quoted from Baal Shem Tov, Tzohar ta'aseh la'teva, how each word, you have to infuse in it the Kedusha, the three Kedushot that we talked about, the word goes up to the Shamayim. We talked about the word Ata, it's Aleph, Sutaf, Vatehe, Otiyot, Mansafach, the Sofiyo, that's the 22 letters of the alphabet, that's what the Amidah is made out of. All these concepts give us a reverence to the Tefillah that we don't have before. So when we get to the Amidah, we get excited. Oh, we're doing something. There's things going on. We're pulling the strings over here in the Shamayim. The Gemara, we want to explain the word El. Ha'el. El is used always in the context of Hesed. V'Hesed El kol hayom. So God is Ha'el. God is the one that is very Baal Chesed. God is the most Hesed. Tefillah is created or connected to the Shem El. There's a pasuk that we say, Tefillah le'el hayai. When we pray, we're praying Tefillah le'el hayai. Because only a merciful God would allow us to pray to Him, and only a God of El would answer our Tefillot. And therefore, when we refer to Hashem in the Amidah, one of the Shemot we mention is God is the God of El, which is the God of the Tefillot. If this is true, we can explain a Gemara. I started to elaborate it on Shabbat a little. I'd like to say one One nikuda that I didn't say because I didn't think the people would be able to comprehend it. The Gemara says in Berachot, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Bet Knesset and he doesn't find Asara, he doesn't find 10 people, Miyadu Kores, he immediately gets angry. And he says, Madua Bati Ve'en Ish, Karati Ve'en One, why did I come over here? Ve'en Ish, there's nobody here. It seems the Gemara is telling us over here the value of praying with a minyan. It's not a small thing. The Gemara learns that when a person prays it with a minyan, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite of Kores. It seems a Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy. The opposite of Kaas is Simcha. So when God comes to the minyan, even if there's 9 guys, 9 tzaddikim, Viyadu Kores. Where's the 10th guy? And God gets very angry. We don't want to be around when God's angry. But it seems you have a 10th guy show up in the minyan. Oh, just like Miyad, who kores, Miyad who sameach. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's besimcha, obviously it brings out a tremendous amount of shefa to all the olamot, especially to those that are praying. So I want to explain to you on a deeper level what's taking place here in the minyan. There's 5 letters in the Hebrew alphabet that are the letters of the Sofiyot. Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, Sadi Sofit, Pe Sofit, Chav Sofit. Meshet Tevot Man Safach. These Otiyot, these 5 Otiyot, are referred to as the 5 Giburot. These are the 5 letters of the judgment. Giburot is judgment. I don't want to go so deep, but just to explain, why is a Sofit judgment? Very good. Because it concludes, it limits, it confines, it restricts. As long as there's no Sofit at the end of the word, I can always add more letters. It can grow, it's Hesed, there's abundance, there's prosperity. But once you put a sofit at the end of the word,
finite.
You made it finite. It becomes restrictive. It's a limitation. So that's the dinim. The man safar is the hamisha geburot. So, because a sofit is it limits, it makes small. Whereas chesed, it multiplies, it goes beyond its boundaries. But if you have a sofit, you have a wall. It cannot go further. Yes, it limits. Keep that in mind. Otiyot man safach. Just for argument purposes here, can anybody give me the numerical value of man safach? Mem, nun, tzaddi, peh, chaf. I think that'll come into play. Well, mem is 40, and nun is 50.
90.
That's 90, and Sadi is 90. So 90 and 90 is 180. Man tsa pa pe is 80. So 180 and 80 is 260. And chaf is 280. Double check it, Mr. Wild, for us.
90, 190, and
280. Okay, good. So man safak equals 280. Resh pe. Keep that in mind. When you have Jews that come to a minyan, so each Jew is connecting to Shem El. Because I said one of the names of the tefillah is El. We start the tefillah, Ha'el. That's the way we introduce Ha'el HaGadol, Ha'el. El is 31. 10 people come to a minyan, 31 times 10 is 310. Otiyot Yesh Yud Shin. But there's somebody else that comes to the minyan besides the 10, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one God. God is Aleph. Aleph, Yud, Shin. God comes to the minyan, he doesn't see 10 people, he says, Madu abati ve'en ish. How come there's no ish over here? How come you don't have 10 people? If you would have 10 people, you would have Yud Shin, you would have 310, plus me, I'm Aleph. So Aleph, Yud Shin. Madu abati ve'en ish. So how much do you have? You have 9 people. Right? There's only one missing. What's 9 times 31?
279.
279. Plus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 280. That's Man Safar. That's the Dinim. Which means, when you even have 9 people, 280 is all the Dinim are there. One guy, the 10th guy shows up, that's why he makes such a big deal. Oh, Asiri Kodesh, the 10th guy, Notel Sachar Keneged Kulav, because the 10th guy turns it from Midat Adin into Midat Rahamim, El times 10, Ish, it makes all the Tikkun. Well, it's not a small thing. It's not when you have 9 guys and the 10th guy shows up, so you gained 1 guy. No, it's a different world. It's a different level. You went from one midat to another. You went from midat to ka'as to midat to simha. You went from midat to deen of mansafach to midat el. That's the level of swing over here. That's the power of a minyan. So it wouldn't hurt when you say Ha'el. You think of that. Number one, Hesed. Tefillah le'el Hayai. The 10 people in the Minyan. 310. Yesh. With the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ish. Just by saying the word Ha'el, you're reminded of all these, the benefit that you have by praying with a Minyan. But we can say something even deeper. What does it mean when Borei Olam says, Madu abati ve'en ish? I think I once told you in another shiur, we say every day, Abi Ishmael Omer, Bishlosh Esrei Middot, Atonah Nedreshet. Abi Ishmael said, there are 13 ways to study Torah. 13 rules. And using these rules, we extract Torah from these rules. We say it in the prayers. Megezerah shava. No. Mekal vachomer. Megezerah shava. Etc., etc. Kal vachomer, you know already. Kal vachomer is like if so-and-so who's weak can carry 50 pounds, so-and-so who's strong, for sure he can carry. Kavahomer can carry 50 pounds. Right? Kavahomer, that's a way of learning Torah. And the rabbis tell us that when we talk about these 13 midot, they correspond to the Yud Gimel midot of Rahamim. Hashem, Hashem, Keil, Rahom, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim, V'chesu, V'emet. Which means, the first midah of Rabbi Ishmael, of Kavahomer, is keneged the midah of El. That's what I'm saying over here. 13 to 13, one for one. That means when you make a kal vachomer, let's start making a kal vachomer. When you're learning the Gemara and you get to a kal vachomer, you know you're involved in? You're now activating Shem El. You're bringing down tremendous shefa, chesed El kolayom, tremendous benevolence and kindness, whatever the Shem El represents, but you need a key. There's always a key to these Shemot. So the key to the Shem El is what? A Kal Vachomer. The next time you go to a Gemara Shiur, Amar Abaye, Velav Kal Vachomer, read the Kal Vachomer. You have to know that moment over there that you read the Kal Vachomer is a very, very, very important moment. It's a tremendous midah, midat kel. I'll prove this to you. There's not too many Kal Vachomers in the Torah. There's one famous one. You remember when Miriam became Mitzora'at? She had leprosy. So, God comes to Moshe and says, well, we have to punish her. And Borei Olam says, Ve'avia yarok yarak b'faneha halot tekalem shivat yamim tisager shivat yamim, which means he said, if she would have disrespected her father, wouldn't she have been punished for at least 7 days? Now that she's being punished by God, all the more so she should be punished at least for 7 days. Which means, if her father, if a physical father chastised her, it would be a punishment or a rebuke of 7. But she's being rebuked by God. Shouldn't it be at least 7? That was God's Kal Vachomer. Moshe Rabbeinu heard Kal Vachomer. What does he know Kal Vachomer is keneged? Keneged the first midah, El. Vayomer Moshe, El na refa na la. He says, oh, Borei Olam is making a Kal Vachomer over here. Why is he making the Kal Vachomer? Because he wants me to, he's obviously giving me a signal that I should use Shem El. And therefore, right away, he says, El na refa na la. All the Shemot he could have used. Because he knows that it was a time of Rahamim in the world, a time of mercy in the world. Oh, that's already the time to use. And what? She got better. And there's many proofs to these. And the truth is, you can go to all the 13 Midot of Rabbi Ishmael and all the 13 Midot, and you see how they're all linked, they're all connected to each other. It's fascinating. Where do we learn? Where do we learn the Anyan of Minyan? Where do we learn this concept of Minyan, that it's mitzvah to pray with a Minyan? Oh, very good. Rabbi Yosef. We actually learn it from a Gezerah Shavah. I'll tell you what a Gezerah Shavah is. Gezerah Shavah is where you have two similar words in the Torah on two different topics. Says the word koneh over here, it says the word koneh over there, but koneh, haiker, haiker, bingo, make a derasha. The Gemara says, v'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, and I will be sanctified betoch b'nei Yisrael, amongst b'nei Yisrael. And it says in another pasuk by the spies, hibadilu mitoch ra'eda. Oh, so by the spies it says what? Toch. And what was the story over there? There was 12 spies, and 2 of them separated, because Yoshua and Caleb were tzaddikim, so you were left with 10. So he said, toch, toch. That just like by the Menagirim, they were left with 10 spies, and it says, v'nikdashti betoch. Even though the Gemara makes it more elaborate, I'm making the Gezerah Shavah easy for you. So therefore, 10, 10. So here you learn that what? Minyan is plus 10. I once asked, you couldn't find a better minyan? Then you're learning minyan from the 10 spies. According to one sheet, the Gemara, the spies don't even have chelek, the Olam Abba. You can't find a more miserable minyan than this minyan. Even the 9:30 minyan is better than this over here. And here, you're telling me, toch, toch, there's no better minyan? That's the Babli. But if you look at Talmud Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi also has a Gezerah Sheva, toch, toch, but it's a different Gezerah Sheva. It says, B'nei Yisrael ba'im letoch Mitzrayim. When the brothers of Yosef came down to Mitzrayim, it says they came letoch Mitzrayim. And how many brothers came down to Egypt? 10 brothers. Oh, so the Ba'al Yerushalmi also learns toch toch, but they learn from the Shevatim. Oh, that's already Hashuv Minyan. And you might say to yourself, my nafkamina, well, what's the difference? That is that, but I learn from the spies, or I learn from the Shevatim. It's a big nafkamina lahalakha. Who qualifies to be part of a Minyan? If you learn from the spies, anybody qualifies. But if you learn from the Shevatim, only Muram Me'am, only people of high stature. Lehalacha, who do we posek like? Do we posek like the Babli or the Yerushalmi. You know what? Oh, this is the Babli. Do me a favor, bring a Mishnah Rav over there, boys. The big Mishnah Rav should be on my desk or on top of the shelf over there if you see it.
Is that the reason why Yerushalmi learns from the Shvatim?
That's the machloket between the Babli and the Yerushalmi. The Babli learns from the Meragilim, the Yerushalmi learns from the Shvatim. So there's enough Gemina.
That's the reason why the
that's why they didn't want to learn from the spies. They want to learn from the Shvatim. I'm telling you, who do we posek like? Oh, very good. Bring this Mishtav Rav here. Open up Siman Nunhe Halakha Yud Aleph. Let's see what it says here. It's not a secret. Come here. Halakha. Avarian she'avar al gezerat hatzibur o she'avar avera im lo niduhu, so long as he's not excommunicated, nimne leminyan asara. You count everybody. Says the Mishnah Berura, Yud Alef, afilu avera she'hayav alea mitah. Guy committed avera chayav mitah. Count the part of the minyan. Again, he's not worse than the spies. V'atam dechtiv Ba'achan Chata Yisrael Afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. Remember rule, Yisrael Afal pi shechata Yisrael, which means a person cannot abdicate his Yisraelhood. Can't lose it. Even though a person sins, he does Kedushat Yisrael in him. A person comes into the minyan, even though he might not be so much, it's not if you count them. The Kiddushah of the Asara, the Kiddushah of the Shekhinah, the Kiddushah of the Bet Knesset, it'll change him. Hein of Kabir. Right, Hein of Kabir lo yimas. You know what the pshat is? Because externally, even though the person might be not so holding by what he's supposed to be doing, but deep in the neshama, in the recesses, there's a spark. That's what it means. Afapi shachata Yisraelu. That's why I said once, what's the dirasha that they learn minyan from? Toch toch. Because toch toch, deep into the neshama of the person, there's a spark. And therefore, gezerat shvat toch toch, that's telling you, don't look at the external person, don't look at the outside of him. Bring him into the minyan, to start from there, because toch toch, in the depth of his soul, there's some good. And therefore, you can be misterif from the minyan as well. This is a very, very important gezerah shava. Especially a musar, according to the Babli, you see, hashkafa, the way we're supposed to look at these things. So wait. We have three midot. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, or as we say in the Amidah, Hagadol, Hagibor, VeHanora. These are the same midot as well. Hagadol is keneged Avraham. Gadol is Chesed. Gibor is Din. That's keneged Yitzhak. VeHanora is Tiferet, which is keneged Yaakov. So the Amidah has an interesting skeleton. Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov. And then we discuss their attributes. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attributes, but they were the human the human version of it. Agadol, Agibor, Vanora, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. First we mention them in personality, then we mention them in trait. Chesed, you know what Chesed is. Chesed's on the right. Then you have Givurah's Deen. Deen's on the left. And then you have Yaakov Avinu, he's called the Mimutsa. He's right in the middle. Yaakov Avinu has a little both. He has a little chesed, and he has a little din. Which we said that's the, when you mix them, then you have what's called the mizug or the mituk. That's already the highest level. It's really chesed, din, rahamim. We call it teferet, but teferet is rahamim. Rechavim is the highest level. That's why Yaakov Avinu is called Bechir Sheba Avot. And Yaakov is right in the middle, because he gets from both. Hence, if you look at the way the Avot are structured, it looks like the Nikuda of a Segol. Avraham on the right, Yitzhak on the left, and Yaakov right in the middle. That's why the Jewish people are called Am Segula, because we're like the Segol. Am Segula, because we're like the Segol. We have the three parts. But of course, Yaakov Abinu, which we're Bnei Yisrael. We're Bnei Yisrael. That's Bnei Yaakov. That means we're under the influence of Rahamim, which is the highest level to be under. But guess what? What's the second midah of the 13 midot of Rahamim? Kel Rahum. What's the second midah of Rabbi Ishmael? Gezerah Shavah. When a person comes to the minyan, and there's 10 people in the minyan, he's activating the Gezerah Shavah, toch toch. Once you activate the Gezerah toch toch, now already you're activating the second midah of Rahum. And therefore, at the time that a person's praying in a minyan, it is a tremendous moment of rachamim. You have to know that. Because the source of minyan is toch toch, which is a Gezerah Shavah. And that already wakes up the second midah, just like Kal Vachomer wakes up Kel, Gezerah Shavah wakes up Rahum. And therefore, the time in the minyan is a tremendous amount of mercy. If we want to say it in a simple way, you have the middle, the Emsa'i, and you have Yamin, and you have Simul. Right? Emsa'i is the middle, that's Yaakov. And you have Yamin and Simul. That's the Segulta. Borei Olam comes to the Minyan, and there's only 9 people. It says, Madu abati ve'en ish. Ish rashetevot emsa yamin semol. Which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu comes along and says, what's going to be over here? You didn't make the mizug. You don't have the midat rachamim over here. Madu abati ve'en ish. That's the depth of what it means, Madu abati ve'en ish. There's no rachamim over here. You don't have the third. You're missing emsa yamin usmol. You don't have the two hasid and din. You just have Arujab, you have Mansafach, you have whatever you're under. You're under some different type of judgments here. That's what we're saying. So, what does it do? Yeah, we said a little on the Amidah. We're going to go back to these words now and just explain them for you. But now, at least, when you say Ha'il, you're reminded that what? That's the Shem of the Tefillah, and that's the concept of the Minyan, that what? That's Ish. 310 plus God, Aleph Yuchim. And then when you say Gadol, Gibor, now you're reminded of the second explanation of Ish. Emsa, Yamin, Semol, Gadol, Gibor, Noran. You look at the Segula in your brain, and you say, well, I'm in a minyan over here. I've just activated Midat Rahamim by using the Kal Vachom, the Gezerah Shavah of Toch Toch. And you're reminded of the Toch Toch. Every Jew is accepted into the minyan because we look at the depth. Al Tistakel BeKankan, Ela BeMashi Yesh BeTocho. These are the... This is a motivation. This is a motivator. When you come to, I'm doing something. Let's start. I'm going to pray with 10 people. In that center, they're screaming in the street. You know what that is? That center is that 10th guy in the minyan. He's turning over the whole world. But already, if we're being midayek on this Gemara, I'd like to say one more diyuk. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to the minyan. He doesn't find asara miyad, of course. What do you mean, miyad, of course? Say, who chorus? Immediately. He gets angry. Wait, there's a stop clock, stopwatch. Miyad, of course? So, we explained it like this. The books bring down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the human being is created, the Gemara Nidah says, when the baby's in the mother's womb, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and makes the baby make a shivwa. Swear that you're going to be a tzaddik and you're not going to be a rasha. You have to swear you're going to be a tzaddik. What does it mean, tzaddik? Tzaddik is a righteous person. But the darshanim They say differently. Every day, a human being has, amongst all his obligations, but four overriding obligations. And that's to be a tzaddik. To be a tzaddi, and a dalid, and a yud, and a kof. The Gemara says, Ben Ishchai brings it down, every day you have to answer 90 emanim. Not tzaddi. Can I get the tzaddi emanim? How are you going to do it? You do it. You answer kaddishim, you answer berachot. But to answer amenim, you don't need to be in the minyan. No, I can answer amen, somebody makes a berachah on the street. I can stand by the bathroom every time a guy says a shiri yatsa, do it 90 times, and I'm covered. The dalet is dalet kiddushot. You have to say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh 4 times a day. Kadosh we say in Yotzer, in Nakdishach, in Ubaletzion, and Nakdishach in Mincha. There's 4 Kiddushot. There you need a Minyan. You cannot say Nakdishach without a Minyan. Yud, Tzaddik. The Yud stands for the 10 Kaddishim. If you look through the Tefillah of Arvit, Shachrit, and Mincha, there's 10 Kaddishim. Again, try to say Kaddish without a minyan. You cannot. And then Kof. Tzaddik. Kof is 100. Me'a berachot. Again, for me'a berachot, 100 blessings they have to say that you don't need a minyan for that. You have to go to the bathroom 100 times a day. Say Asheri Yatzar 100 times a day. He's done. He can pray the Amida B'Yahid. He prays 3 Amidot. There's 57 right over there. So again, watch 2 items of the tzaddik. Do you need a minyan? The 10 Kaddishim and the 4 Kiddushot. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to the shul and he doesn't see a minyan, miyad hu ko'es. He gets angry because you cannot fulfill the yad, the yud and the dalet of tzaddik. Miyad hu ko'es. He says, the 90 amenim, that you can do without a minyan. I'm not angry with that. You'll do the 90. The kof, the 100 berachot, he'll do. But what's going to be with the yad? So, kishin nechnas lebet kenesed ve'en oroi asara, miyad hu ko'es. He gets angry from the yad, from the 2 items that cannot be fulfilled. Okay. That's enough for the dirashot. Now let's get down to the business of the tefillah. And we said already. Haggadol. So we already explained one way. Haggadol, Gevurah, Vadorah, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Chesed, Din, and Rahamim. Haggadol also is explained as follows. The Sefer HaTanya in Shara Yehud says like this. הנה, בסידור שבחיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא כתיב הגדול, ופירוש הגדול היא מידת חסד, good, correct on that, חסד, כנגד אברהם, ותפשטות החיות בכל העולמות וברואים לאין קץ ותכלית. הגדול is referring to God's חסד that he infuses life into all of the creation. Liyot biruim me'ayin liyesh. That God is constantly creating the world and from nothingness becomes something. Ve'kayamim b'chesed hanam. Just out of chesed, total chesed. Ve'nikrit gidola, ha'gadol, ki ba'am b'gidulato shel ha'kadosh baruch hu b'chbodo u'ba'atzmo. Ki gadol Hashem. Ve'ligdulato en heker. ולכן משפיע גם כן חיות, God infuses life, מאין ליש לעולמות וברואים אין קץ, שטבע הטוב להטיב. Because the nature of the good is to do good. So when you think of הגדול, according to this, הגדול is God's greatness, מלוך כל הארץ כבודו, his life sustaining, must be a chesed into everything. Into us, into the animals, into the plants, into the galgalim, into the whole world. There's no place where Borei Olam is not. That's Gadol. That's Gadol. It's big. Wherever you go, it's big, not in quality alone, but even the quantity. There's one God, but it's so big, it's everywhere. We say in the Tefillah, Vishimcha Nora al Kol Ma Shebarata. Your holy name is on everything, from the biggest mountain to a blade of grass. Mikarnei Re'emim Ad Bitzei Kenim. From the big horns of the Re'emim, of the dinosaur, we'll call them a dinosaur, I don't know if it's a dinosaur, Bitzei Kenim, to the small eggs of the lice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechayeh Ve'ata Mechayet Kulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings life to all of the creation. This is HaGadol. There's another explanation of HaGadol. There's two words in the Hebrew language. One is Gadol and one is Ram. Very good. Gaon de Vilna says there's no synonyms in the Hebrew language. You use the word Ram on something that is high, but does not have any connection to what's low, what's beneath it. For example, we would say a plane that's flying in the sky, at that point that it's flying in the sky, we'll call it Ram. It's elevated. A cloud is Ram, because it's high. It's suspended in the air. Gadol, he says, is something that's high but it's connected also to the ground. A tree would be Gadol. A tree's high but it's also low, it's connected to the ground. There's two ways, there's really one way to look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the Goyim look at it in a corrupted way. We refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu as Gadol, and the Goyim refer to God as Ram. They say, yeah, God's up in the heavens. He has nothing to do with the earth. He's Ram. He's in the Shamayim. He's doing whatever he's doing. He's busy. He has no personal relationship with any of the creation. When he created the world, he left. We come along and say, no, God is Gadol. He's in the Shamayim, but he's also HaMashpil Lelot B'Shamayim V'Haaretz. God also is involved on the earth. The pasuk says, "Ram al kol goyim Adonai, al hashamayim kibudo." Ram al kol goyim. God's Ram, Ram. Hashamayim kibudo. His kibud in the shamayim. Adonai b'Sion gadol, v'Ram hu al kol ha'amim. Hashem b'Sion to us. Hashem b'Sion gadol. Gadol. He's up. He's down. He's all over. Hashem is here, Hashem is there. What does the song say? Hashem b'Sion gadol, v'Ram hu al kol ha'amim. So when you say the word gadol, you're thinking gadol. Not only is he all the way in the seven heavens, which is very high up, but he's also connected to us all the way, way down. There's everything, what's going on? Hashkaha peratit. Hagibor. Oh. The way we explain Gibor is based on the Mishnah and the Perkei Avot. Ezu ha-Gibor ha-Kovesh et Yitzro. Chas v'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have a Yetzer, like a human being. But Gibor is the word that refers to self-control. Somebody that has an ability to restrain oneself. To hold back. It's Gibor. To suppress. God is a Gibor in many ways. One way that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Gibor, he's Kovesh Midat Adin Shelo. Even though a person makes a Avon, and even though a person should be guilty and a person should get a punishment, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gibor is Kovesh Midat Adin. He suppresses it. Well, if he is hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish a person, punish him 1 second. But If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would let out the Midat HaDin, the whole world would be destroyed. So he's Kovesh Midat HaDin. He holds it. He gives a person time to make Teshuvah, even Sedom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it many years. And then even Nehran Avraham Avinu negotiate. Finally, that's one manifestation of God's Giburah. Ha'ela Gadol, a Gibor. He holds back the Midat HaDin over us, which is a big chesed, again. Even though Gibor is Deen, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Gibor that he holds back the Deen. He holds back the judgment. That's the Gibor of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I once saw another interpretation. What does it mean, a Gibor? Based on a mashal, a story, there was a king, he was an all-powerful king, and he provided sustenance to all his subjects, and he provided them all services. But he was a very humble king. He didn't come out too much, he didn't boast too much. His main thing was he was concerned about his subjects, to make sure that they're all taken care of. He wasn't interested in any kavod, or fanfare, or honor, or glory. And there was another fellow in the kingdom, an imposter, and he came along and was taking credit. He said, I'm the guy, I'm the king, I'm the one that's doing all this for you. Because really nobody saw who was doing it. So he came along and said, hey, what the heck? I'm the guy. And people giving him credit, oh, wow. And the real king sees what's going on. And they tell the real king, go get him, go kill him, go. Leave it. And then the king, this imposter, goes and he tells the queen, get out of the palace, this is my palace, and takes the king's children and exiles them. They tell the king, look what he's doing. Leave it. And then it goes on and on. And now you have a group of people that are going around saying, hey, this guy's an imposter. He's a faker. The real king is over there. And now you have defenders of the real king. So they go to the real king and say, why aren't you doing anything? Because I get so much pleasure of watching the defenders. That they're defending me at all costs, at great sacrifice to defend me. And therefore I want to give them reward for defending me. If I reveal myself, then I cannot give those that I love the reward. So he suppresses the natural urge to want to expose. Similarly, Kevyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You come to the world, and somebody has to be running the world. You're looking, who's running the world? This machine called the Olam cannot just be running by itself, it's too sophisticated of a machine. Comes a scientist to tell you, it's a bunch of evolutionists, and this is happening, yeah, it's a big bang, and it's a theory, and all the stuff they tell you, they confuse you. Confuse people, confuse other people. None will tell you, yeah, I'm running the world, my money, everybody's, I'm feeding, I'm doing, everybody's good. And the tzaddik says, well, you're nothing. What are you doing? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where is he? And we talk about, reveal yourself. Just show these liars and these fakers that they don't know what they're doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. I get a lot of pleasure. Let the ones that are defending my honor, I can reward them one day for revealing if I expose myself, then it's obvious. That's the Giburah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has so much greatness. And he has so much revelation, and he's mitzamtzeim. He hides himself. You know how hard it is? When you're the real king of the world, there's a bunch of guys walking around with crowns, I'm the king, and all the tyrants, and all Nebuchadnezzar, down. Each one claimed, Ani Emloch, Ani Vefsiot, I'm God. Some claimed that they were God. Some claimed that they were deities. Some claimed that they were omnipotent. Each one claimed. And where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the tzaddik says, Sheker Vekazav, and we jumped into the fire, and we jumped into the lion's den, and we jumped into all the furnaces. No, there is one God. Because of who's Gibor, that he suppresses and holds back from, and that's the great, why? Oh, because he loves us. Because he wants to give us reward. Because God says, you reveal me. That's the job. You reveal me. I have to reveal myself. You have to expose me to the world over there. Even though, look what they're doing. They're making a mockery. You reveal it so I can give you reward. That's the Gibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vanora. I saw a pshat here in Hanora. Hanora, in English, they say it's awesome. Yeah. The way we're supposed to understand Nora, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world in a way with the concept of onish, punishments, where we can come to fear Him. As Nora. You see a tsunami come in a matter of a few minutes. You just wipe out towns and villages and hundreds of thousands of, in 1 minute. They showed pictures like the next day after the tsunami, or maybe a few hours later. People are back to the beach, they're sitting down again. 1 minute the thing came up, flooded, destroyed, created havoc. And then a few days later, I don't know exactly how much, but it wasn't that long after. People, okay, passed. What a devastation in 1 minute. Wow, that's Hanura. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can wreak such devastation. Or Barmanan, there's an earthquake, or there's a certain Chas V'Shalom, plagues that they used to have, Lo Aleinu V'Lo Aleichem, Makkah, bubonic, black, boom. Baruch Hu says, don't play games. You see the onish that sometimes comes down. That causes us to have a fear. But we really have to explain Hanora in light of, we don't want to say stirot. Nora, we said, is connected to Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu said, Man Nora HaMakom Hazeh. That's why it's connected Yaakov. Man Nora HaMakom Hazeh. En Zeh. Bet Elohim, Vezeh Shara Shamayim. Sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person in order to give him the beracha. The onesh is a sibah to get the beracha. Simple mashal. God wants to give Sarah a child. So the akrut of 90 years, that's all a preparation so she'll have the tzaddik. She's praying and she's crying and she's begging and she. So it looks like an onish, but all those tefillot, look what it produced. Could you get a better child than Yitzhak Avinu? So v'hanora means even through the yisurin, even through the onish, really that's midat harachamim, where even the suffering that Kadosh Baruch Hu puts a person through, He holds back an item from him so he can pray and better himself and elevate himself. And therefore, it comes out his deficiency was the cause of his elevation. If he had everything, he would have no motivation to grow. So we say, V'hanora, that even the dinim, even the onish is for a positive purpose. He wants us to pray for it. The actual pachad that we have, that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the item. They say, why does thunder always come before the rain? I'm sure some scientists can explain it to you. I'm not a scientist. I'll explain it to you the way the Baalei Musar say it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring rain. But you know what? We don't deserve the rain. So what happens? God sends a crack of thunder. And what happens? People say, Shema Yisrael, rain.
Yeah.
The thunder is to humble you, to make teshuvah when you hear a loud noise and you become a little machdiya. Hashem says, oh, the machdiya, bring the rain now. That's the hanora. So it's a good thing. Even though the thunder scares you out of your sleep.
Lightning.
Talk about thunder, but there's a lot of things that scare you.
No, they go together.
So you became a weatherman? Which means when the thunder makes the loud sound, oh, Andorra, you get scared. But always after the thunder, comes the, and without the thunder, you couldn't have the rain. That's Andorra. The fright leads to the beracha, because it elevates us. Good, so we learned. Ha'el, Ha'gadol, Ha'gibor, Ha'norah. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.